Before I introduce our speaker today for our Bible class and then later for our worship service, would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful on this beautiful Lord's Day that we are physically able to assemble in Thy presence, mindful of those who are unable to be with us because they're either ill at home or in a hospital bed or in a nursing home. And we pray for them and pray for those who are caring for them, and if it be Thy will, they would be restored to that portion of health that would allow them to once again assemble with the saints. We're so thankful to be able to assemble at this hour to learn of work being done in the mission field by our brother Gary. And we ask your continued blessings on him and his wife as they labor in your vineyard and attempt to plant the seed that precious souls might be saved. Please give him a ready recall of those things that he is prepared to share with us at this hour. Continue to walk with us through this life, and in death save us. In the precious name of Thy Son Jesus we pray, and amen. It is a pleasure to once again have Brother Gary Workman and his wife Nadia with us. As you know, this congregation has long supported missionaries, and in particular this work that Gary is doing in the Ukraine. So Gary, I'll turn it over to you. We're very honored to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
My pleasure to come back and be with you again. I was here 2 years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago, and at that time, Nadia was not with me. She was already back in Ukraine, got a head start on me, and she often does that. Nadia is Ukrainian, so if you've never met a Ukrainian before, here she is, sitting right down here near the front, and you can do that afterwards. And if you're more comfortable speaking the Ukrainian language or Russian language, you can do that with her too. I said that in a lot of places, and you'd be surprised how many times somebody afterwards will walk up to her and say something in Russian. And so those are usually people who've made trips over to that part of the world and done mission work. It's always a pleasure to tell about our work. I'm going to hope that I know how to operate the thing. I guess it's working good. There's a map of Ukraine right there in the center. And let's see here. There we go. So with Russia up there on the right and upper right sides of it. So we have the country of Ukraine being in Eastern Europe. Russia is in Eastern Europe and in Asia, and as you know, it goes all the way over and stretches almost to Alaska. It's a pleasure to tell you about this work because the congregation here has had fellowship with us in this work, participating with us as co-laborers. And I still remember going way back many years ago that you had a brother, Charlie Hunter, here who was involved in Ukrainian missions, and it seemed like at one point he teamed up with Bert Brown, who was associated with Salem Church up in Glen Easton, and so there the involvement of this congregation in Ukraine mission work goes back a lot of years. I believe that was real early in the 1990s when Charlie Hunter was doing that, maybe even 1990. Two or thereabouts. So downtown Kiev, Independence Square. If there's an audiovisual man present who knows how to make that image appear on this screen right in front of me, I won't have to turn around every time to see what's up there. Does anybody know how to turn this on? That would I dare not push any buttons for fear it might be the wrong one. Anyway, Independence Square. If there's any, political activities, let's say a big campaign of some sort or a protest of some sort, that's where it usually takes place. And throngs of people, thousands of people would gather in Independence Square and let their wishes be known. And so a very prominent part of the country of Ukraine.
Sorry.
We may not get the image on my little monitor up here this morning. All right. Well, that's all right. All, so far, I can still turn my head. At least old Arthur hasn't set in that much. Oh, we may get going here. It's slowly coming on, I think. Let's see if it talks now to that up there. No signal. Well, isn't audio visual stuff wonderful? Here we go.
Oh,
hey, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. All right. So last fall, I just put this little bit in here to show a couple of people. Last fall, we had some American guests. My overseeing congregation is in Texas. It's Lake Houston Church of Christ in Humble, Texas, and this man is the preacher for that congregation, been there 10 or 12 years. Kevin Hahn and his wife Heather came over and were with us. My nephew came over and spent most of the fall with us, and there he is standing between Nadia, who is on the left there, and her twin sister, who is on the right. And so whenever I come to Hillview Terrace, I think of Faye and Kay, and Nadia and Olga are identical twins. And so they always enjoy seeing each other, I think. People always, real quick on their minds, are asking, well, what about the hostilities in the country? So I say a few words about that. It's over there on the far eastern side. Russia is poised along the border there with a lot of military, and they've come into that section over there. And they, we think maybe President Putin of Russia wants to grab that much of Ukraine, that red part over there. He's used the term New Russia, Novorossiya, it says in the Russian alphabet there, the Cyrillic alphabet, which serves both Russian and Ukrainian languages. New Russia. We think he'd like to grab that much and then make it appear like they just independently wanted to secede and then asked Russia to annex them. Of course, the whole thing is orchestrated by Russia, really, behind the scenes. In the pink and purple areas, that's where Russian forces are mainly holding sway. All of this is Ukraine right here on the eastern side. The blue and yellow parts, the Ukrainian forces seem to have the upper hand. Here's another map, different way of looking at it. The tan forces are controlled by Russian force. The tan area is controlled by Russian forces. The yellow part by Ukrainian. The blue part up there is what they would really like to get. Ukraine's second largest city, Kharkiv, is up in that area, and it would be a prize if Russia could snatch that from Ukraine. So, where there are these soldiers wearing ski masks, hoping nobody can recognize that they're really Russian soldiers. Of course, they don't have anybody fooled. The Russian tanks come into the country with Russian insignia on them, so it's pretty hard to disguise yourself. And all of this is going on in those hostility areas. Homes are destroyed, and people are distraught. Many people fled the areas. Those that are left behind are dependent on charities, and here's a soup line out in the street. There's people waiting in a bread line and maybe hoping to get a few vegetables as well. We don't go into those areas. We don't dare do that. If an American went in there, he'd probably be held for ransom. And I'm not sure any of my American brothers have the kind of money that they would want in order to let me go. So, anyway, we don't go. What we see, we get in our car, and that's me behind the wheel, and there's Kevin and Heather that I already showed sitting in the back seat, and off we're going to make the rounds of our various works that we're involved with. We come upon armed convoys like this, and soldiers usually wave as we pass them up. We see we saw this tank being unloaded, and stopped to watch it for a few minutes. Then we came upon an armed convoy like this. You can see the rolling hills, kind of like some roads around here. You're not quite sure what's over the hill crest there. or how long the convoy is. So I moved over to the left-hand side, stepped up the speed. Soldiers are waving as we go by, and I was just hoping and praying we wouldn't meet another vehicle coming the other way until I could get past. Would you believe that convoy turned out to be more than a mile long? It just seemed like it would never end. But we finally made it, never met an oncoming car. Humanitarian aid is a regular part of our work because of all those hostilities. This man in the red shirt, his name is Andrei Zhuravlov. He was the preacher in Gorlovka, Ukraine. You may have read about this in Christian Chronicle a few years ago when Russian forces went in there and snatched the church building from the congregation at gunpoint. Right in the middle of their Sunday morning assembly, walked in with these guns and said, "Everybody out, and if you don't, we'll take you out and shoot you." And this building will now be the property of the Russian Federation. They didn't mind identifying themselves. This was the preacher on the scene at the time. He was their regular preacher. He left the area with his family, but he goes back in regularly. There he is in the back there in front of the tall one in front of the green curtain. Goes back in regularly to help those that were left behind, who had nowhere to go, typically older people, and he's conducting worship and Bible studies, and he takes in humanitarian aid. So we're always putting funds in his hand and sending him helping to send him back into those hostility areas. Our headquarters, if you want to call it that, our home base is Poltava, a city called Poltava. There's some of the church standing in front of our rented meeting place we'd been renting for the last few years. It says Tserkva Christa on the sign in the Ukrainian language, Church of Christ. On the inside, it's pretty tight quarters and a lot of times hard to figure out how to fit everybody in there, and people standing in the doorway wondering where there's an empty seat. And when we have Bible studies or when we have tea times, it's especially hard to find the room. This is an apartment, one of the members, and we were just gathering there for a Bible study and taking a couple of shots. But back to the congregation, meeting there with these very narrow tables and just trying to squeeze everybody in has been our challenge. I'm going to tell you how we solved that challenge in just a moment. But have a couple of shots here of our street evangelism, getting materials ready, putting church's name with a stamp in the front of Bible literature and Bibles that we hand out on the sidewalk. And when weather is nice, like it is right now, we just go out there with nothing but a table and the materials. If it's rainy or extra hot and we want protection from the sun, we put this tent up and we distribute a lot of materials out there just for passersby to stop and engage us, and we've had success in doing this. It has led people to Christ, and every energetic congregation in Ukraine is doing something like that. But back to our meeting facility, we got our own building at last. And we started working on this idea about a year and a half ago, and we thought, well, how can we do it? We don't have the funds. But I thought, well, the Lord may provide. We may be able to raise the funds. So we looked at various places and thought we had one ready to purchase, and then the deal fell through one day before closing. And but we didn't grieve over it. We thought, must not have been the Lord's will. That's the way we looked at it. Just kept on looking for other places. And we found a much better place than the one that didn't work out. This one, taking this aerial shot, that's a restaurant right there on a major boulevard. I've been driving past that for years and years, and almost every time I drove past it, I'd look over at it and think, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have that place for the meeting place for the Lord's Church in Poltava? And would you believe it came up for sale? They wanted $130,000. Nadia and I talked about it. I said, Nadia, I know we've got individuals and congregations who will help us get this building, but $130,000 sounds like a lot. I'm not sure we should venture into $130,000 and hope we can get it. Let's offer them $100,000 even and see what they say. She called the owner. He said, let me have a week to think about it. And at the end of the week, he called up and he said, I accept your offer. He didn't even say, let's meet in the middle. How about 110, 120, 115? He just said, I accept your offer. And they were just as nice as they could be. He even left all of the furnishings and equipment that was in that place behind, except for one little refrigerator they decided to take. And everything else was left behind, worth at least $10,000, maybe $15,000, even $20,000. And so we got this place, the blue line showing the building, the yellow line showing the property. There's the backyard. And coming down the sidewalk in the front, lots of passersby. So that street evangelism I was talking about would work really good right here. Coming up closer on the building and in the spring, all these beautiful flowers. It was really built well, this building was. It's basically a metal building, but with a lot of brick. They don't use wood and drywall like we do here in this country very much. If they use drywall at all, it goes over concrete block just to make the wall smooth. But wood framing, never see it. In fact, I told someone, we have a lot of wood framing in the USA, and he said, how long does it take for the building to burn down? And so that seemed a little strange to their way of thinking. This building, just so well built, and looking at it from the street there, and the entrance like that, great curb appeal, you might say, and beautifully kept the yard even, and walking into the entrance there, and we're standing holding the document that shows we got the building. We didn't raise all the money. Nadia and I had to dig deep into life savings and just about deplete all of that in order to come up with enough money to do the deal. Mortgages are not feasible in that part of the world. Almost nobody buys a house on a mortgage because the interest rate can be 25% a year. And they usually just save and save and save, and finally when they have enough cash to buy a place, they buy it, and they buy it cash. We bought this building cash. And so we had to come up with a lot of money that we took out of savings where we didn't really want to take it out, but that was the only way to do it. And then meanwhile, keep on trying to raise money. We still haven't got it all yet. But anyway, there's the entrance. There's looking back at the street. It's a six-lane boulevard there. And it has a little access road, like you, on certain highways or freeways in big cities where you have a frontage road or an access road. Has one of those right in front that's just a couple blocks long. And a big wide sidewalk, six lanes of traffic. The woods back there go a few hundred feet. Well, I guess a couple hundred yards, actually, and then the river is beyond that. It's just a wonderful place. Bus stops nearby, train station is only 3 minutes away by car. These verandas out front could be taken in and made into rooms if the time came we needed more room. But going into the building, there's my colleague Anatoly, by the way. We share the preaching there in that congregation. He already preached there today. They're at 7 hours ahead of Eastern time here. And so going in the entryway, looking back, very spacious place, and all these tables and chairs, even has a fireplace there, looking on down through rooms there, and greatly arranged, beautifully arranged, lots of nice lighting. And so we thought, we really got a wonderful building. We have to do almost nothing to it to make it work for us except change the sign out front, has the restaurant name, and the corridor behind the big rooms and the kitchen. We have all the kitchen facilities a congregation could ever want. And so that's been our big blessing that came to us just this year in answer to a lot of prayers and a lot of effort. And if you know of anyone who has money, that more money than they need to take them all the way to the end of life, and maybe that person, or if that person is you, could think about investing in the future of the Lord's work in a place where the gospel never went until the demise of the Soviet Union. The true gospel never went. We didn't know of one Christian when the Soviet Union ended in December 1991. And people like Charlie Hunter and Burt Brown got in there pretty quick, and I got in there a year and a half after the Soviet Union ended, and been doing it now for 25 full years, into the 26th year already in this work. Belarus up there is a separate country. It was one of the republics of the Soviet Union. It's a separate country like Ukraine. And there it is on a map. There it is in relationship to Ukraine. It's the green one, Ukraine being the gold one, and both countries bordering Russia on the right-hand side over there. There's Belarus. I knew some missionaries who did some work here in the lower left-hand corner on this map. There's a city called Brest, and they were in there very early, but the government made it so hard on Americans. They had the Soviet type of mentality, the old guard militaristic type mentality, and they didn't want the gospel preached in their country, and made it real hard on Americans, so they finally gave up and went home. But those authorities weren't counting on locals taking up the cause, and that's what we have. And the only other congregation we know of is right there in the middle of that map, the city of Minsk. I think it's got a red dot on it up there, and that's the capital city. Our congregation is over here on the right-hand side in a city called Gorky. This tall man on the left is the president of the country, Lukashenko, and that's President Putin of Russia he's talking to. They both, I think, really regret that the Soviet Union came to an end. They would like to have that power back again. And President Lukashenko, he decided one day, since he was supreme commander of the armed forces, maybe he'd just order up a military uniform for himself. So he did, and started calling himself Marshal Lukashenko. He has been president, is it six times already, Nadia? I believe he's in his sixth term as president. He keeps changing the constitution so he can keep getting reelected. And when I saw how he was calling himself Marshal Lukashenko, I thought, I wonder what our news outlets would say tomorrow, if or this evening on any news broadcast, if President Trump decided, you know, I'm supreme commander of the armed forces, I'll get me a uniform and start calling myself Marshal Trump. Everybody has to salute me who sees me. Wouldn't that be something? That's what this man did. But he wasn't counting on local people like these two, Igor and Katya. They were baptized in November of 2016. Now, I was here in, Randy, you may have that date better in mind than I do, but I think it was late August 2016. And these people were baptized on November 5th. And then within a month, he says to us, I'm ready to start preaching the gospel. I'm ready to start a congregation here in Belarus. And his wife was just as eager as he was. And so we put them on support starting January 1st, 2017. And in the beginning, especially, we started connecting by Skype. If you know Skype, it's like a visual phone call. You know, you can see the other person and going through the internet, and they can sit there in Belarus looking at a split screen here, seeing themselves and us at the same time. We can see ourselves and us at the same time, another split screen, and we have joint worship together, joint Bible studies together. By the way, we do this also inside of Ukraine to outlying places where people can't get in. We connect up with them by Skype, and we have several different pieces of equipment that are broadcasting this, if you can use that term, while we're having our Bible studies and our worship assemblies. They are doing a great job in this country of Belarus. That was their little girl. He's got this little cubby hole of an office, and we bring them back into Poltava about three times a year. And there he is in Poltava, standing there and delivering a lesson. Here he is back in his home country, putting up notices about the church, handing out Bibles. And Katya is doing just as good a work as he is, and very energetic in spreading the word of God. And they've had lots of home Bible studies, usually sitting around the kitchen table like this. That's the way it generally takes place. Kids get in on it. In fact, we have children's Bible story books, very well done. Eastern European Missions gets those printed up, and they're given to all mission works free of charge. And so that's a great help. So these Bible studies keep taking place, and sometimes in a bedroom like this scene here, sometimes just one-on-one like this one. Sometimes the family cat gets in on the Bible study. We haven't converted the cat yet. Anyway, lots of activities. And these two have just been so wonderful. And it's been less than 2 years that they've been doing this. And their work has paid off. Just some more scenes of their work. This woman wanted to be baptized and was ready to do it in the frigid waters of this lake. You can see how warmly they're dressed. And that water, I want to tell you, was really cold. And she braved the icy waters, you might call it, and was baptized into Christ there. This man went to the same lake, but look at him. Look how slender he is. This man is thin. He doesn't have an ounce of fat on his body, I don't believe. And he stood there shaking in those frigid waters that lake, and he said, "I'm not sure this is the best place for me to be baptized. Is there anywhere else we could go?" And Eager said, "Well, we can use a bathtub." He said, "I think maybe that would be better." So they went. There he is, standing in the bathtub and just been baptized into Christ. They came up with a find in Belarus in this town of Gorky. They found this farmhouse on 2 acres of ground for sale for $13,000. And we said, "Buy it. We'll find the money somewhere." We dug more into life savings since the money that we didn't have raised for any purpose like that. And they were able to get that place. Great location. Those Christians that were converted very close by, and got all this ground. It's great visibility. Nobody can prevent the church from meeting there. They've been living in an apartment, these two. But you can't conduct worship in an apartment because the neighbors will hear the singing and see all the people coming in and out. They'll complain to authorities. They would be shut down immediately having worship in an apartment. So we got this house as a combination preacher's home and church meeting place. Here they're tearing out the heating system, taking out the windows, redoing those, and look how spacious that is in the biggest room in the house where that church can have their meetings. And so that's Belarus, a separate country from Ukraine. And it's just right to the north, and they come straight south. It takes about 9 hours for them to travel by car from their location to our location in Ukraine. Here's another work, Verkhny Dniprovsk. You have to almost clear your throat to say that name correctly. That KH is a guttural sound, Verkhny Dniprovsk. This man, Vladimir Vorobyov, he is the preacher there. He's been doing that since 2005. In fact, I helped train this man. We had a preacher training college going at that time. He got trained in the college, and I told him, if you will move to Verkhny Dniprovsk, where we have one couple who are Christians, and then we'd have you and your wife, that'd be four people, and start the church there, I'll put you on support out of the funds that I have. And he said, okay, and he's been doing it ever since. Good man, just doing a great job. And many people have been converted. Some moved on to other places. There's movement like that going on in Ukraine. But right now they're meeting in homes, And so here, this scene, I'm leading the singing. By the way, they sing this. We sing the same songs you sing here. We have a few that you wouldn't know that were written in that part of the world. But mostly, they're these songs translated into Russian and Ukrainian. Some congregations prefer to sing them in Russian, some in Ukrainian. Sometimes we do them in both languages in any given place. So I'm leading the singing there. My nephew Ryan's sitting there behind and ready to give a lesson as well. Left Bank Kamyanskaya. We have two congregations in town. River runs down the middle, so we have Left Bank and Right Bank. The way you know left from right, you face downstream. Then you get your left and right correct. It's in the Dnipropetrovsk region. Dnipropetrovsk is one of the biggest cities in Ukraine. Kyiv, the capital city. Kharkov and Dnipropetrovsk are almost identical in size. I think Kharkov has a slight edge on Dnipropetrovsk, which they have now renamed just Dnipro, because many places don't like to memorialize the Soviet communistic names anymore. They're trying to get rid of them out of their vocabulary and their place names. And this place was named after a Soviet man named Petrovsky, Dnipropetrovsk. It's on the Dnieper River and named after Petrovsky. So now they call it Dnipro. And the city that used to be Dnipro-Dzerzhinsk, named after Dzerzhinsky, the founder of the KGB, they didn't want that anymore either, so they renamed it Kamyanskaya, Stone City. Lots of stone there, stone cliffs and all. So there's the Left Bank Church, and a view on the inside, and Bible studies. We've had great amount of Bible studies in this place. We have in mind, we might even start a preacher training school in this facility, because we have let's see, how much is it? 8,000 square feet inside this building. And most of it's unfinished. We have just a small part of it finished, but here we are having Bible studies and worship, and this is a great congregation where a lot of good has been done. A lot of people have been converted, and so we have a lot of hopes placed in the Left Bank congregation of Kamyanskaya. This man is the preacher, and he's also a great song leader. So he can do double duty if there's nobody present who can lead singing or not good at it. This man can do it. By the way, Christians in Ukraine and in Russia, very few people are musically trained like in America. Very few people can actually read music. And they just somehow didn't emphasize that in their schools. And therefore, four-part harmony, like we are used to in our congregational singing, is almost unknown in that part of the world. And so everybody typically sings in unison. This man is musically trained and knows four-part harmony, but how to train the people, that's the challenge. It's kind of hard sometimes to train the people. And but anyway, lots of conversions took place there on the left bank of Kamyanskaya. This woman in white has just expressed her desire to become a Christian. And there's this sandy beach that goes right into the river, and there she is out in the water and put on her Lord in baptism. This man is a Poltava member, one of our members in Poltava, and he was a refugee from the hostility areas. We encountered him by doing humanitarian aid, led that whole family to Christ, and he's a construction expert, really good at it. So we got him to take a leave of absence from his job and go to Kamyanskaya and get us some more rooms finished in that building, supervising the work. And so here we are trying to figure out what exactly to do and which rooms to do next. There's some of that drywall that I was talking about. We put it up over concrete walls just to have a smooth wall there. And so that's Left Bank Kamyanskaya. Here is Right Bank Kamianskaya. This congregation developed along the way as an outgrowth of the Left Bank Church. And when I first went over to that city, that was in spring of 1994. And we started the first congregation on the right bank. That led to two more, and finally the three just combined together to make one, and it worked better that way. But we started from scratch on the right bank, and in no time we had converts, and I preached the first sermon on that. That was in May of 1994. So it's been going on this long. Here's a shot of the church today. This young man, he was a little boy when that congregation was begun. I converted his older brother, and his older brother was real energetic with personal evangelism. He converted every member of his family who was of accountable age. I don't think anybody was left that he didn't convert in his extended family even. I'm talking about cousins even. And his wife here, Nadia knew her when she was 11 years old. She was teaching Bible to her. I was teaching Bible to him when he was younger than 11 years old. Eventually, the two of them met at a Christian Bible camp, and marriage and baby makes three and four. So they have two kids now. And his name is Ilya. That's Elijah to us. Her name is Zinaida. Zinaida. We call her Zina for short. There they are, dressed in traditional costumes. They put them on holidays, like you had, I guess it's going this whole weekend, right? The Elizabethtown Festival, and some people dressed up in Elizabethan dresses, I think. Well, these people like to put on their traditional costumes whenever possible, and they're so colorful. This young man, also working with them, his name is Eljun. He's from the country of Azerbaijan. Now, that was one of the republics of the Soviet Union that also, like Ukraine, became a separate country when the Soviet Union fell apart. He's from Azerbaijan, and people who are native to that area, who were not Russians that moved in there, they are Persian in background. So he has a little bit of a swarthy complexion, and his ancestors are Persian, and he was a Muslim. When encountered by the young people of the Right Bank Church in Kamianskaya, and they had such a great impact on him, and my nephew Ryan was there, that was 11 years ago. This young man was 15 years old, and Eljun told me later, he said, it was Ryan who really convinced me to become a Christian. We had a lot of talks. And he left his Muslim faith against the great objections of his parents. They just nearly had a fit over that. Muslims don't want to hear of any of theirs becoming Christians, but he did it anyway. And then within a year or so, he decided he wanted to be a preacher of the gospel. I'm going to tell you more about that just before we end. But here's some shots of young people on the Right Bank congregation, and looking at this congregational shot. A lot of young people there, really active. Summer Bible camps are conducted by this congregation every single summer, and we never fail to have conversions. Summer Christian Bible camps. And they just go out in the woods and pitch some tents, and it's a do-it-yourself camp, no fees, nothing, and they do everything themselves, no hired staff. And we have had lots of conversions there. Zaporozhye is another place where we work. And by the way, I've been giving place names, Poltava, then we went to Kamianskaya. That's down on the map. It's a different region. One region is like about 15 counties for us. So we moved from Poltava region to Dnipropetrovsk region, and then further south to the Zaporozhye region. Do you remember in the book of Colossians, Paul referring to the Scythians? Those were the Zaporozhye people. They were the ancestors of the Ukrainians. They came from this region. They called themselves Scythi. That's how they pronounced the word Scythian. The TH becomes an F in their language. And so they were the Skiffy people and lived down there in the southern part of Ukraine, and Paul's referring to them, to the Colossians. And so this is almost Bible lens, you might say. And we started this work with one preacher and one member in the year 2000. They meet in this half-sunken place right here. It's halfway below ground. That's the regular place that they have all the time. There's our American guests in the middle there, Kevin and Heather, and Nadia and I are standing there, and the local preacher, Yuri, and his wife are standing there, and we're ready to go in and have a ladies' day in this place. There's Yuri pictured with me. When we found him about 14, 15 years ago, he was a drug addict. He was rehabilitating in a hospital, and we found him there, converted him. He became a preacher of the gospel. He's been doing it for the last 13 years. And so here's some of their Christians there gathered together for this ladies' day. I'm leading the singing there, and we got them started with that. And then we men went on back and met separately while they conducted their ladies' day. Lots of wonderful Christians there. And these people that we're meeting here are refugees from those hostility areas. When they come out of that eastern side of Ukraine, I showed you on the map, they can go just about straight across and get into Zaporozhye. It's a big industrial city, and it's strung out along the big Dnieper River. That Dnieper River is like the Mississippi River to them. I mean, it's big. It's bigger than the Ohio. And so job opportunities are there, and the city built these facilities for refugees, and we go down there and conduct Bible studies. When we have weather like this, we do it outdoors, like you can see in the scene here. And when the weather is too cold, we go inside. But here we are conducting Bible studies, and it leads to conversions. Here's three recent converts right here. Look how big that river is. Folks, that's a river. And here's another young man. He was contacted in an orphanage, and he became a Christian. Here's another woman, and you can see that wide river there. And I've actually blown the picture up to make the people more visible. That river is something like 2 miles across, I believe, at that point. There is a dam there that widens it out, hydroelectric plant and all of that. But the congregation started in the year 2000 with two people. That is a shot of the congregation today. And that's really not all of them in the picture. Lviv would be the second capital of Ukraine if it had a second capital. If the eastern part were snatched by Russia or whoever, Lviv would be the capital over on the western side. It's a major city over there. And this young man, a graduate of the Bear Valley School of Preaching in this country, they have an extension school there, and he graduated from that. And he is our man in Lviv. And so here he is, and with the Bear Valley insignia. Bear Valley's been in there for 20 years now with their preacher training school, and doing a good work, good sound people. And so some of their graduates, three young men, decided to go to Lviv and start a congregation from scratch. And there they are in their traditional costumes. And we got to be at the Bear Valley Conference. The 20th anniversary took place last fall, and they all gathered there. And the American director, that's him, Denny Petrillo, standing with me there. And former Ukrainian director of their branch, Terry Harmon, over there on the far right, with his Ukrainian wife. They had to come back because of health issues in the family. And now this man, Denis Sapelnik, is the Ukrainian director. He is Ukrainian. His wife is Ukrainian. And they're doing a good work. So these two young men on the right and left are two of those three preachers working in Lviv. Here's another man we just took on this year. His name is Alexander. That would be Alexander to us. They split the X up into KS, Alexander. And he's a graduate of their Bear Valley Extension in Ukraine, 75 years old, and went to a congregation that had a lot of problems. This congregation was established almost 25 years ago and had a preacher that just did him a lot of damage. And this man was willing to go there, and he's been doing a great work, so we have him on support. And back to the young man, L. June, I said I'd say one more thing about him. He's now enrolled in the preacher training school. It started early this month, and he's got his 2 years studies right in front of him. That's the end of my presentation, folks. Thanks so much for your good attention. We appreciate it so much. We appreciate your support that this congregation has provided us. You are our fellow workers in all of these things that I've been showing here this morning. And I cannot even begin to tell you how much it means for people to have a hope of heaven who never heard the true gospel in the past. Thank you again.